Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Deliciously Stella on the Job. I'm Bella Younger and today I'm going to be talking to a lovely, inspiring lady all about her career and sharing a couple of stories from my week. So this week's guest is the lovely Gemma Kearney. Welcome, Gemma.
Hello.
So Gemma is a radio and TV presenter, a theatre producer, an award-winning documentary maker, an activist and an agony aunt.
I'm exhausted.
So basically, I was looking at questions to ask you because we're talking to you about your career today, and I realised that there are so many because you've done so many things.
Yeah, I do have fingers in pies, and actually this morning I was starting to do this thing that I probably do about once a week around Wednesday where I feel like I've got too many plates spinning and that no one understands me and that I'm really hard to define, and it might be limiting to be doing so many things, but I just cannot help myself. I love too much stuff, and it's proving okay in the sense that some of the things have done all right, so I'll keep going.
I mean, you're doing all right.
Doing okay.
You have like the least linear career trajectory I have ever seen of anyone. So you went to the Brit School.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Were you there with anyone fun?
Yeah, I was there like with loads of actors. I did theatre. So we were quite kind of a thespy year. Mm. I mean, in music, Katie Mellower and Luke from the Kooks were there, but we like were too obsessed with ourselves. Like the theatre crew were really grungy and like really like took ourselves too seriously. So my year, Kush Jumbo, who's in The Good Wife, she's a mate of mine. Nathan Stewart Jarrett, who did, what was it, Utopia, Dystopia, whatever that, I didn't even watch it, he's in a really good programme. Lots of actors, but Adele and like all the superstar famous crew were a bit below me. So Adele was 2 years younger than me, Kate Nash was slightly a year below me and stuff. The only kind of super famous people that had been there when I first joined were a couple of members from another level, which was enough for me.
I mean, that is amazing. I would absolutely have loved that. But you ended up styling Kate Nash and Adele, didn't you?
Yeah, it really was during a strange time in my life where, I mean, it's not actually that strange on reflection, but like a really experimental time. And I was living in East London, it was in my early 20s, and everyone that you met at a party worked in fashion, and I thought it sounded quite fun, particularly as I was trying to be an actor at the time, and that was really hard. Mm. So I was like, I reckon I can do some styling. It turns out that technically I was absolutely rubbish and I couldn't sew for toffee and I'm not very organised, and actually don't really get paid that much as an assistant stylist, so like the irony really got to me. But I did get to go to loads of fashion parties and work on some really exciting shoots, and then as a part of that I asked like a lot of my friends if I could style their photo shoots as they were at the beginning of their careers. None of us ever knew that anyone was ever going to be famous. Like, we just used to all go out together and get drunk. And then I would say, we were kind of a really proactive crew, but we didn't notice it. Like, we didn't realise it and think about it. We weren't particularly entrepreneurial or madly, like, rampantly ambitious in the same way that I think some of the younger generation are now. Mm. Like, we didn't have Instagram so that we could follow what each other were up to. It was just like Kate sung a few songs in some pubs and her sister would drive around her equipment. Adele, you know, really similar. Everything was based on who was in whose top eight on MySpace. And it seemed like they were both pretty talented. So I said, you know, we've got Tom, our mate, who's a photographer, or Scott, our friend, who's a photographer. He's building his portfolio. He's going to do the shoot. I'm going to go down to Beyond Retro and get the clothes. And like, I'll be the stylist. You're going to be the subject matter. And there you've got like you know, inverted commas, press shots, but we didn't really know that, like, Adele was going to be the most famous person in the world. we didn't know that Kate would soon after have a number one album. Like, it just really was quite funny, actually.
I worked in fashion once. I interned in a fashion cupboard. And once I got asked to put some labels on stuff, and I put a label on the outside of a jacket, and I ended up ruining this vintage coat. And I have never been shouted at so much in my entire life. And I was, like, an adult. I was, like, 23. Yeah. And someone was shouting at me, like, I just wet myself. And I was like, oh.
I'm sure many people in your position actually did wet themselves, so don't worry, at least you didn't.
I mean, I'm surprised I didn't. She was absolutely fucking terrifying.
I've been in that situation quite a few times, definitely.
So after your styling, you did a radio course. Is that something you'd recommend for people trying to get into broadcasting?
I don't know. Like, I think now it's way more rough and ready, and like things are much more accessible, and there is a huge DIY phenomenon happening, which I think that I would have definitely have been a part of. Like, I love starting things, trying things. Like, I'm an ideas monster. Literally, I can't stop, and I've always been that way. And doing a course actually helped harness that, because I just had the idea that I wanted to be a broadcaster. I had the idea that TV presenting was cheesy and that it had to be radio. But as to how I got into that, I had no idea, except for literally Googling in the internet cafe, like, radio courses. Found that there was one fairly nearby. Had to lie about where I lived so that I could be in the catchment area for the free bursary. And it was a women-only course, which, again, I think was quite ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And I just learned, it was a 12-week thing, and we just had to produce a radio show by the end of it. And by the end of it, I'd had, like, a podcast series commissioned for what was Channel 4 Radio, which was still online. It was going to launch into this big digital thing, which it never did. But, like, I, again, just my really kind of precocious nature, like, led me down the right path, and I really utilised it. I was like, right, now I know the basics. Now I know the terms of radio. Like, I know, you know, that to back announce means to say what the name of a song is. Like, yeah. Thanks for the course, wicked. But I want to get out there and do it. So it definitely helped. But I do think that you just have to juggle, and that you should try things, and that you should tell people what you want to do, and that you should make it, and that you should be confident in your ideas, because just, like, that freshness, that, like, youth and that, like, real excitement and tenacity about somebody that really wants to do something that hasn't necessarily been given the opportunity yet, like, shouldn't be overlooked in a creative industry.
Yeah, so it's all about the hustle.
Yeah.
And saying yes to stuff.
Definitely.
Like, I found I've become so much more of a yes woman recently.
Yeah.
Like, since I started everything and I've had all these amazing opportunities, I'm just like, you know what? That terrifies me, but I'm going to do it. Like, do you not get scared of some of the things you're asked to do? Like, you presented Woman's Hour. It's amazing. I went on it and I nearly died.
Yeah. The threshold just gets higher, but I definitely do things all the time that make me really scared. And it's kind of my philosophy, really, now. I realise that after, like, 8 years doing my job, I'm like, well, I obviously get off on this shit. Like, I obviously do, because I keep doing it. So I have to utilise that as a positive. And I think I actively seek things that are challenging, because when you try them, and if you kind of at least do an okay job, I'm not saying that I do a good job every time, but, like, when you've actually done something that really scares you, it makes you feel stronger the next time you try it. But Woman's Hour was really scary.
Okay, good. I'm so glad you were scared.
It was. I literally didn't even know what was coming out of my mouth for the first 20 minutes. I was just talking. I was just hoping for the best.
Jay Garvey asked me to eat a crisp sandwich on air, and I knew that my mum was just sat at home listening, going, no, no, don't do it.
I mean, that's kind of unfair, isn't it? That she asked you to do that.
She made me take two bites. She was like, and again? And I was like, So something that caught my eye this week is something that my mum actually sent me. It turns out that I've been named as one of the hottest young singles in town by Tatler magazine, no less. How they know I'm single, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just an educated guess. But what my mum failed to notice is that in the strap line about me, it says, "The filthy antidote to kale. She'd much rather take a bite out of your sausage." Yeah, so my mum failed to notice that there was a very lewd sexual innuendo involved in this particular article, and I sent it to everyone in my family and all of our family friends. Obviously, it's taken a spoof food account to get me into the society pages, but I'm there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So you now present the Glastonbury coverage for the BBC and you've done shows on BBC Radio 2. Is this ever where you imagined you'd end up?
I never thought that my life would be what it is, and it doesn't mean it's perfect and that like I'm sitting pretty. It just means that I've done things that are above what I thought I could achieve, because I didn't really have like particularly high expectations for myself. I just knew that I like people, I like life, and I like fun, like, and when you start to realise that actually, like, you have got a brain and it's quite fun to use it, and that being a woman, you know, doesn't mean that I need to live a certain way, or being mixed race doesn't mean I have to be, you know, defined as a particular style presenter or any of that, or limit what I can do. And I feel really proud, and I keep getting these opportunities because I have lots of meetings. I'm constantly like asking people if they are interested in an idea, and then sometimes it pulls off. So Radio 2, the art show in August was absolutely amazing. Awesome. And just stuff, like it's all kind of just carries on, really.
So I read somewhere that it says you've streamlined your ambitions, and that's what made you start your production company, Boom Shakalaka, which is so cool and so exciting. I was listening to your thing that you did for The Pool on mental health today. Amazing.
I think streamlining is kind of a bizarre notion. I did it at a particular point. It's when I was doing early breakfast on Radio 1, and like, I think streamlining it sounds a bit fanciful and a bit self-help. Like, it wasn't as simple as that. Like, I really am a guttural person. Like, I live by my heart a lot. Like, I try to strategize and it doesn't work. Like, I realize it's very much about how I'm feeling, who I've met, like, where I'm at in my life. And doing early breakfast was basically breaking me. I was exhausted. I would be doing something like this with you, but inside I would literally be, like, a total husk, because I'd be so tired. So I was getting up at 3 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
And me being me, I'd have like 3 or 4 meetings in town as well after that. And some days I'd be like going in and out of town from Hackney 2 or 3 times so that I could go to the most important meetings or events and then still do my radio show. And it was hell, basically. It got to the hell. Even though I love the act of radio, even though I had a good job at like one of the biggest youth networks in the country, but I realised that I needed to think about really what made me happy, and that wasn't kind of a projected trajectory that I'm supposed to be doing. Like, if you spend all these years doing this on early breakfast, and maybe one day you might get this and that, and you might do afternoons or whatever, like, oh, and if you are a famous presenter, then you're on the front cover of magazines and you have a clothing line, or if you get skinny enough, you'll be invited to even better parties, you know. And like, suddenly you realize that that's such a load of shit, and it really isn't about money, and it isn't about like what the successes that everybody kind of is sort of showing me or telling me, and kind of believing in my skill and thinking, right, what is that? What makes me tick? What makes me happy? And it's to create. Like, I went to drama school. I worked in fashion. I'm around creative people that blow my mind. Some of them I don't think get the platform that they deserve. Like, how can I use my skills and my contacts and try and create that platform, like, in a multidisciplinary way? And Boom Shakalaka came out of that. It's startup. It's boutique. It's, like, really DIY. I don't have investment. I don't ever plan to, like, have massive overheads where I'm paying people people. I'm not Donald Trump. I don't need like a huge HQ, you know. I'm not even, you know, I don't even like really aspire to like that kind of world takeover of Oprah, you know. I don't like that, you know, that sense of like, and I have to have it all. Like, it's just, it really was like a natural thing for me to say to one of my best friends in the world, Brigitte Aphrodite, who I think is one of the rawest talents that there is, to say, okay, you've got this amazing show. I love what you're doing. Can Boom Shakalaka produce it? Let's get it to Edinburgh. Let's actually just do this.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you about that. How was Edinburgh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't on stage, thank goodness.
No.
But I love Edinburgh Festival. I've been going since I was a drama student, and to produce a show. And again, you know, it's from, it sounds so fancy, like language is weird. Like, all I did really was big up my friend, make sure that she got the money that she needed through Kickstarter so that it could go to Edinburgh, so that it could be seen by people, because what she was making was amazing, and like supporting some of her imagination. But she was the one with the talent, and she'd written the show, and we got, you know, other people around me, like a co-exec producer who has theatre background, who could do budgeting because I'm shit. We had like a fashion person doing like the set and design so that it looked really aesthetically hot. Like, you know, it was just a great, fun experience. It's like organising a really, really, really cool party.
Awesome. And so now you do the surgery
on
Radio 1, which is amazing. So you cover some pretty heavy-hitting subject matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite weird to be somebody who kind of, I think, explores like the light and the shade quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I've always felt like a responsibility to be able to represent someone that isn't afraid to talk about everything. So that means to be, I think, fun. I hope I'm fun and have a good time and like wear stupid clothes and all that and can be reckless, whatever. But at the same time, like, it's really important that we talk about the fact that life isn't perfect and that means something different to everybody. So to do the surgery is a total privilege. I think it's one of the most important shows on Radio 1, with or without me. It's just an important show.
Yeah.
I co-host with a doctor, which is really important too. I'm just like the big sister, and we hopefully provide a space where people feel like they can be honest and come on air. We root it in a different theme each week, so it can be anything from self-harm to something a bit more surrealist, like the idea of power. Or something like straightforward, like, it's Freshers' Week, are you having a hard time? And people come on and they talk about their problems, and because they talk and people listen, it helps many people.
So do you think that social media has had a negative effect on sort of how young people view the world?
Yes and no. I mean, I have just written a book and I got really immersed in like my own internal fear of the internet, and I had to kind of stop myself from feeling really like doomy. Because it's definitely not all bad.
It's definitely not all bad. I started my account because I didn't feel like I was being properly represented by influencers, in inverted commas. But it's definitely not all bad. I mean, I think it's great for sharing.
It definitely is, and I really enjoy that side of it. Like, it's fun to show off. It's cool to express yourself, you know. So it's definitely not all bad. I just get scared about like the more vulnerable brain and just the access, and like, just, we don't really talk about how the internet can be negative. We just sort of do it all the time. We just consume it, and like, maybe we should be talking about the positives and negatives and taking a bit of our own self-responsibility as to whether that makes us always feel good, because sometimes it can make you feel shitty and you can't actually pinpoint as to the reason, but it really could be because of the amount of alerts you get on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. So can we talk a bit about your book? What are you allowed to say?
I'm allowed to say stuff, I think. Oh my God. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I'm really scared. I really understand why people are like really OTT when they write books. And I've had friends that write books and they're just like, I can't come out. Or, I've got to finish it. Or, this is so huge. And I've always been totally in awe of it. But to actually do it, it's like, whoa, that was hard.
Yeah. So hard. It was so hard. I was like, I'm going to nail this. I'm going to do it in like 3 weeks. No, like 3 months later.
So hard. Yeah, spud you on that, because well done. It's a lovely book as well.
I'm
a fan. Yeah, so basically it's a chapter-by-chapter breakdown. It's called Open, and it's a toolkit for how magic and messed up life can be. And it's kind of lots of different things in the same way that my mind is. So it's part memoir. There are like lots of secrets of mine told, but I'm not doing a Katie Price. It's you know, it's nothing that you probably wouldn't expect. It's also part resource, so you can go to the index at the back and you can like look at all the different subject matters that we explore within, and you can just hop straight to the chapter that might be relevant to you. I don't think that it really needs to be read from cover to cover, because it's quite heavy. Like, you don't necessarily want to think about the entire of life in a book read, like when you're on holiday by the pool, but you might be suffering from something for the first time or be confused about something, and you might be able to find it in there. So from friendship to self-harm to sexual health to OCD to death to there's positive things. Plants. Shoes. Your vulva, labelling it, there is all sorts. It's also full colour, fully illustrated, hardback, the real deal. It's so scary.
It's so exciting, though. It's so exciting. And when's it out?
It's out in March, so we've got a while, but you can pre-order it on Amazon. And also, just I really want people to become part of like the movement, which is bold, I know, but I really believe in this more than I believe in anything that I've ever done, because it culminates everything I've ever done. And it is just about like being free to be yourself, be open-minded, have an open heart, open up. If you're feeling like shit, open up, like tell people how you feel. And there's going to be free podcasts. I'm going to go on a UK-wide tour and a double-decker bus.
Oh my God, amazing.
So it's like, it's so many things. Like, Open isn't just this book that you need to get on Amazon like right now. It's like way more than that. Like, become part of Team Open and enjoy the spirit of it. Come and have a party and have a disco dance. You don't even need to spend any money. You can download the podcast for free and just follow the Open journey for 2017, really.
Amazing.
Yeah. Are you Team Open?
I'm Team Open. Yes.
Yes.
So in this week's news, Prince Harry has a new girlfriend, which is always devastating for everyone in the female population. She's a brunette, which is a change. Normally he likes a badly behaved blonde, but I thought I might be in with a chance. So I was going to tell a story about playing Spin the Bottle with an unnamed royal, but I'm a bit worried that the Illuminati might come and murder me, so I've decided not to. Gemma, thank you so, so much for coming in and telling us all about your career and your book. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I always feel sick at the end of stuff like this because I feel so indulgent.
That's what it's all about when you're getting interviewed.
It's a really, really weird for someone that interviews, but I am excited about all these things. And I do think it's, you know, it's really good to represent that anyone can do whatever they want,
yeah,
really.
Exactly.
I mean, if you could do it, like, you know, in such an amazing, nuanced way and be kind of a food activist, in steeped in such fun and charisma, then like really, you know, there's a lot going on out there and everyone can do whatever they want. It's great.
Yeah, do what you want.
Yeah, whatever.
That's all for this week. Don't forget that you can find me on Instagram at deliciouslystella, or you can drop me an email at deliciouslystella@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.